Well, good afternoon to all of you. I should say happy high Sabbath holy day to you. Well, after the first Passover, the children of Israel began their trip to leave Egypt on the 15th day of the first month. This was the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the holy day we observed last week, as you know. Today is the last of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the last day, the holy day that represents the day that the children of Israel finally left Egypt through the Red Sea by, of course, the miracle of God's help. The title of this sermon is Keep the Faith. Keep the Faith. We're going to have to do this if we're going to be in God's kingdom. I'm going to start with some examples of how God works out things for his people. Thankfully, our great God always has a plan for our lives. He's pleased with all the good and happy things in our lives, just as we are, and yet he notices and cares just as much about the bad things that happen to us. God doesn't cause the bad things, but with these bad things, he uses them to help things for our good. In other words, he can turn bad things into good things. Some examples of this are in the biblical stories leading to the Passover and the days of unleavened bread. Let's start with Joseph. We talked about him many times. It's a lively life that he had. He lived hundreds of years before the Exodus, of course, but Joseph's life had many ups and downs, yet God had a special plan for his life, just as he has a special plan for your life and my life. Most of Joseph's early life was bad news. He was blamed and punished for things that he didn't do. Yet, because of his faithfulness, God used him powerfully to help and save a lot of people. Because God arranged for Joseph to present his plan against the coming famine, Pharaoh put him on his right hand, and he was in charge of the famine project. So Joseph's family was able to avoid starvation and moved to Egypt. Hundreds of years went by, but eventually Joseph and his brothers died, of course. But God did not forget his promise to Abraham, who would be in charge of a great nation someday, the nation of Israel. In the meantime, a new king, who did not know about Joseph, came to power in Egypt. Pharaoh ordered that all newborn babies of the Israelites be thrown into the Nile River. Well, how did God handle this situation? This was a bad situation. The parents of baby Moses hid him in this special basket, as you know, and among the reeds of the riverbank. So you know the story. The Pharaoh's daughter found out about this. She felt like she wanted to help and felt sorry for this baby, so she took him over, and he grew up to be a very educated and beautiful boy and man. As I mentioned earlier, when you have the faith in God, he can take a bad situation and really change it to a good one. Now, God was preparing for a leader to guide the Israelites out of Egypt. He calls Moses, who at first was reluctant. He says, well, who am I to go to the king and lead your people out of Egypt? And he makes some other excuses. And so God says, well, all right. So he allowed Aaron, the brother of Moses, to do all the speaking with Moses and let Moses use his staff to do special signs and miracles. Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and told him to let the Israelites go free. They wouldn't listen, and his heart became hard. He did not obey God's instruction to let his people go. After sending 9 plagues, God gave some special instructions to his people to escape a terrible calamity. The Creator told the Israelites on this, that this evening he would kill all the firstborn sons of Egypt to convince Pharaoh to release the Israelites from slavery. Exodus 12:13 reads, "Now the blood shall be the sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." As we know, this is where the name Passover came from. Since this plague caused the death of the eldest son of every Egyptian family, including Pharaoh's son, the Pharaoh finally let the people go. Once again, God took a bad situation to help his people. This time, help them out of slavery. God said this day would be to the Israelites a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. Exodus 12:14 says this. Exodus 12:14, and the baptized members in our church still keep this every year. The Passover celebration would be a sacrifice to the Lord. It would also be a reminder to God's people of how the Lord had spared them and led them through the land as he had promised. Exodus 12:24-27 describes that. Exodus 12:24-27. After the first Passover, the children of Israel began their trip to leave Egypt on the 15th day of the month, the first month. As I mentioned earlier, this was the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. This freedom was made possible by the blood of the Passover lambs and the Israelites' faith in God. You have to have faith in God. As they got ready to leave, there was no time to let the bread rise with yeast. The Egyptian people were more than pleased to see the Israelites go, if it meant that these plagues would finally be over. The Egyptian people had to put up with 10 terrible curses because of the Pharaoh's stubbornness. They told the Israelites to hurry up and leave before everyone dies. As the Israelites left, the Egyptians gladly gave them whatever they wanted, including clothes and gold and silver. You can read that in Exodus 33 and 36. Exodus 33 and 36. This freedom was made possible by the blood of the Passover lambs and the Israelites' faith in God. Again, it took faith. After we are convicted of sin by the word of God and the Holy Spirit and repent and exercise faith, we too can begin to leave spiritual Egypt. Although they were released from captivity, it took Israel 7 days to completely leave that land of Egypt. And they ate the unleavened bread for 7 days. And today, we as Christians eat unleavened bread for 7 days. But the moment a person exercises faith in God for the remission of sins that are past, he is justified. And the penalty for sin is abolished. The repentant sinner is viewed as sinless and righteous in the sight of God. We can see this in Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. Colossians 1. 21 and 22. You can find it. There yet. And you, who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he was reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, you are not moved away from hope of the gospel, which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. There were reasons why the 7 days were necessary for the Israelites to leave Egypt. It was a tremendous encampment, if you can imagine this. There were about 600,000 men, bless their families, and people of other nationalities who wished to join them and were allowed to do that. All this could have added up to about 2.5 million persons, plus the animals that were walking with them. And this we know, some of the people were complainers too. Didn't make it any easier. In Exodus chapter 13, verses 17 and 22. Exodus 13, 17 through 22. Then it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up in orderly ranks out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had placed the children of Israel under solemn oath, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry my bones from here with you. So they took their journey from Succoth and camped in Etham at the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by the day or the pillar of cloud by night from before the people. Then as the people approached the Red Sea, of course, God hardened Pharaoh's heart again, and so he would show honor over Pharaoh and over his army. Of course, when Pharaoh's men were seen by the Israelites, some of the Israelites were afraid and they complained. And we see this in Exodus chapter 14, 10 through 16. Exodus 14, 10 through 16. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? This is not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Then the angel of God was involved, and he came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. So let's turn to Exodus 14, 21 through 31. Exodus 14, 21 through 31. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on the dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on the right hand and also on the left. And the Egyptians pursued and went after them into the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. Now it came to pass in the morning watch that the Lord looked down upon the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud, and he troubled the army of the Egyptians. And he took off their chariot wheels so that they drove them with difficulty. And the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea, that the waters may come back upon the Egyptians, on their chariots and on their horsemen." And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. And when the morning appeared, the sea returned to its full depth, while the Egyptians were fleeing into it. So the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Then the waters returned and covered the chariots, the horsemen, and all the army of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. Not so much as one of them remained. But the children of Israel had walked on dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the land of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servants. Now what I'm going to read to you next is not in the Bible, but it could be true, because it's found in the Antiquities of the Jews by Flavius Josephus, and many of us are familiar with Josephus' writings, a prominent Jewish historian of the first century who is well known to historians and scholars. Anyway, Josephus says in book 2 of his work, quote, "On the next day, Moses gathered together the weapons of the Egyptians, which were brought to the camp of the Hebrews by the current of the sea and the force of the winds assisting it. And he conjectured that this happened by divine providence, that is, so they might not be destitute of weapons. So when they ordered the Hebrews to arm themselves with them, he led them to Mount Sinai in order to offer sacrifice to God and to render oblations for the salvation of the multitude, as he was charged to do beforehand." Now, I'm not saying that that's been discovered that this is true, but it does sound very interesting to have the weapons also be coming up to the people. Let's go back now to the Bible, Exodus 14:30, reread the tail end there. "So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses." So the Israelites crossed the sea at this last day, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, that we are keeping today. Paul wrote about this, that it was a baptism for them. In 1 Corinthians 10, verses 1 through 4, 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 4, "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock, that followed them, and the rock was Christ. The crossing of the Red Sea marked Israelites' final departure from Egypt, symbolic of sin and death. Immediately after Israel crossed the Red Sea, the Israelites sang their victory song of Moses. You can read that in Exodus 15, verses 1 and 2. We'll read the first part of this victory song. Exodus 15, 1 and 2. When Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord and spoke, saying, "I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him." After this, Israel prepared God a physical place, that is, a tabernacle. And in this place, Israel approached God through offerings and sacrifices. But these didn't change the heart. That didn't work. In Psalm 51, verse 17, Psalm 51, verse 17, it reads, "The sacrifices of God are a broken heart, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise." What instruction did Paul give to Christians in regard to this festival? In 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8, we can see this. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8. "Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." Paul didn't treat these festivals as outdated Jewish traditions. He accepted them. He understood their relationship to Christ's place in God's master plan. One purpose for the Feast of Unleavened Bread is to remind us that after we accept Christ's sacrifice, at the same time of baptism, we must allow God's Spirit to help us to grow up into Christian's spirituality, Christ in us. That's Ephesians 4, verse 15 talks about that. Ephesians 4, 15. Leavened bread represents the wrong motives, malice, and sin, or wickedness, that may still reside in our thinking. Unleavened bread represents having our hearts filled with sincere motives, an eagerness to apply the pure faith revealed in God's Word. So we've discussed the origin of Passover, its relation to the freeing of the Israelites, and that the days of unleavened bread represent our coming out of sin. Now I want to show you how we are also to eat unleavened bread because of what the Lord did, not just coming out of sin. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 13, Exodus 13, verses 4 through 9. Exodus 13, 4 through 9. "On this day you are going out in the month of Abib, and it shall be when the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, which he swore to your fathers to give you, a land flowing with milk and honey, that you shall keep this service in this month. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and on the seventh day there shall be a feast to the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and no leavened bread shall be seen among you, nor shall leaven be seen among you in all your quarters. You shall tell your son in that day, saying, this is done because of what the Lord did for me when I came up from Egypt. It said, it shall be as a sign to you on your hand and as a memorial between your eyes, that the Lord's law may be in your mouth. For with a strong hand the Lord has brought you out of Egypt. We should remember that it is something that God did. God released us from bondage. Coming out of sin is something that we do. But we can only do this because God did something first to help us. This next scripture, where God is speaking to Moses, will bring this point out even further. Exodus chapter 6, verses 2 through 8. Exodus chapter 6 and verses 2 through 8. 6, beginning in verse 2. And God spoke to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, Lord, I was not known to them. I have also established my covenant with them, to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, in which they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians kept in bondage. Now I have remembered my covenant. Therefore say to the children of Israel, now listen carefully, say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rescue you from your bondage, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. I will take you as my people. I will be your God. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you into the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I will give it to you as a heritage. I am the Lord. That is what God said that he is to do. This is direct connection with eating unleavened bread. We have to get to know God as our Savior. All we have to do is cooperate. When we cooperate, things work out all right. This is his plan. Our keeping of the days of unleavened bread helps us to realize our need for Jesus Christ. We learned that the Israelites couldn't have crossed the Red Sea without God's help. And we too need Jesus Christ's help in overcoming our weaknesses from day to day. Jesus, the Lamb of God, was sacrificed for the forgiveness of our sins, thus unleavening and cleansing our lives. As we move forward with God's Spirit, we must keep the faith.